This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
Maurice Jones is the assistant city manager for the city of Charlottesville, Virginia, and he joins us live in studio on occasion to keep us updated about some of the things that are going on in the city. How are you, sir? It's good
I'm
to see you.
I'm doing very well. It's great to be here. Thank you, sir.
You're starting to enjoy this. It looks like the nice weather is starting to break through clouds. And
let's hope it stays. Yeah, it's been gorgeous.
This has been a wet spring, hasn't it?
Have
you seen a spring this wet?
You know, the thing is that with the drought situations that we've gone through in the last 8 years on occasion, I never complain about rain anymore. the more rain, the better, in my opinion. So.
Well, they say we're down for the year.
Right.
But we still, all this recent rain has been good.
Yeah, and that's mainly because of the lack of snow. Because we usually, when we have a lot of snow, it seeps into the groundwater. It helps build the reservoir and that type of thing. And we didn't have that yet again. We haven't had a big snow in quite some time here in the Charlottesville area. And so it is nice to have a kind of rainy spring to help deal with that deficit.
What was it? The winter of 96 was the big 2 feet that shut everything down?
We had a couple of storms back-to-back within a week or so.
And that was great, wasn't it?
It was the last big one. Yeah,
I love that.
It was a lot of fun. Sure.
Everybody was snowed in then. There was nothing moving. We're talking with Maurice Jones. Let's start, if we can. We have a bunch of stuff we want to get to.
Sure.
Let's start with the dialogue on race, because that's made a lot of headlines recently, and it looks like things are moving forward. Remind us again what we're talking about,
sure.
What it is. The funding, and this has sort of been a controversial thing. You can talk about that too.
Sure.
Why this has been controversial?
Well, back in September of last year, the city council met at their annual retreat to establish priorities for the year, next year or so. And one of the things that they identified as something that was important for us here in Charlottesville is the issue of race relations. And so they asked us to take a look at what other cities have done around the country, other models that we can take a look at and see what would work well for us here in Charlottesville. We ultimately settled on what's called a study circle model of dialogue, where you'd put together small groups of people from the community, from all walks of life, 10 to 15 people, who would meet on a regular basis for 5 or 6 sessions to talk about their experiences, talk about their perceptions, and get to know each other, and then move from the getting to know you phase to, well, what are the issues, both historically and current day, that are affecting race relations in Charlottesville? And then from there, you move to solutions. And then at the end of this process, all of these different small groups will put together their list of issues and solutions and bring that back to the steering committee. And then the steering committee would report back out to the community. These are the issues that we think are most important in dealing with race relations here in Charlottesville. So there are two ways of really attacking the tension that we have in some segments of our community when it comes to race. One, let's get to know each other a little bit better, begin to understand each other, but then also start attacking some of those problems that have been barriers to improved race relations in our community.
We're talking with Maurice Jones of the city of Charlottesville. What are some of those things that are out there that you know, having lived here for so long, I know that's going to come up when we start talking?
Well, it's interesting. It just came from a meeting where we were talking about the redevelopment of public housing in Charlottesville. And so whenever you talk about public housing or you talk about race relations in Charlottesville, the two words that come up are Vinegar Hill, because that was a redevelopment urban renewal project back in the back about 50 years ago or so.
1962 and 63.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Where there was a community of African Americans in the heart of Charlottesville downtown who were displaced. And they lost businesses. They lost a sense of community. And they were put into other places like West Haven and other public housing places because this was an area that was poor, largely, but they lost a sense of identity. And so that continues to be an issue in the African-American community here in Charlottesville.
Here, 50 years later, Vinegar Hill is still powerfully symbolic.
Without a question, it is. And it does come up on a regular basis. And especially for folks who've lived here for a long time. If you're coming in from somewhere else, whether you're black or white or Asian or Hispanic, you may not know about Vinegar Hill, but the folks who've lived here for a long time certainly do.
Yeah.
And it's a concern, and it's especially a concern When we are talking about redeveloping those properties now to improve those properties, West Haven and Crescent Hall and South First Street, there's a barrier there. Folks are concerned that it's going to be totally demolished and they're not going to have a place to live, or they're going to be displaced yet again. And of course, that's not the point of redevelopment. It's to improve these sites, make them better. We're in the early stages of master planning this, so we have no idea what it will eventually look like, but those are barriers that are in place to stop progress if you don't address that history.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to do that. So that's one.
Yeah. I know my work as a local historian and as a reporter, I've had many occasions to sit in people's living rooms and at kitchen tables and dining room tables and hear people. I have looked in the face of people who were displaced, who lost their business, who watched their home get torn. And I've seen, people cry right in front of me as they tell me.
Sure.
And this is recent. And,
sure.
And for folks who don't think that this is a raw nerve for a lot of people who live in Charlottesville, you're naive.
Sure.
You just don't realize how many people are still upset about this.
Right. And even if some of those folks are no longer with us, it's passed down from one generation to another. And that memory, that history is passed down from one generation to another.
And it's Vinegar Hill, and it's also Gospel Hill, where the UVA hospital complex is.
Well, exactly. And that's
that was another African American neighborhood that's totally gone.
And that's lesser known in everyday circles here in Charlottesville. But certainly there are a lot of folks in Charlottesville, especially African Americans who remember that as well.
Yeah. We're talking with Maurice Jones of the city of Charlottesville. What's the timeline on this thing? How does it work?
Sure. Well, phase one of this, there are two parts of phase one. One was to put out a request for proposal that would bring in a facilitation group that would help train local facilitators to do proper facilitation in the small groups. And that's critical. We've attempted to do things like this in the past, and at least one of those instances where they had some of these small group discussions, the facilitation was not what it should have been. And so that can have a disastrous effect on how these small groups progress.
Because there's people who do that who are professionals. Who know what they're doing.
Exactly. And what we're hoping is that we're going to bring those folks in, and we're going to bring in as many folks in the community who want to be a part of this process and who have facilitation skills but may not have the experience in working with a subject like this, and train them to deal with the difficulties and challenges of having a discussion about race.
Sure, sure.
And so we've put out a proposal for that. We received 10 proposals. We've narrowed it down to 5. And then we have also selected, the city council appointed a steering committee. And the steering committee will now take on the next step of the challenge, which is to narrow that down to one group that we would bring in to help with facilitation. And we also hope this group will, because of their experience with working with this type of initiative, that they'll also come in and bring in some ideas for the goals and objectives, for realistic goals and objectives for the program, and then also help us guide us through the process.
Maurice Jones with the city of Charlottesville is my guest. If you got a question, 977-1070. When this has been done elsewhere around the country, and I know y'all have spent some time looking at who's done this, how have they done it?
Sure.
What's been the end result? I mean, can we look somewhere at some place in America and say, look, they did it and this happened?
Yeah, it's varied. I think there's a place like Cincinnati has gone through this, and their process was very, very painful because they were going through this initiative out of a pretty nasty incident that occurred there between the police department and the African American community, and they've seen some success in moving forward. They eventually established the commission, I do believe, that would take on issues of race relations and that type of thing. Lynchburg is another city that's taking on this initiative, very similar to what we're trying to do in terms of a dialogue, and they're in the second year of that process, and they're seeing some results. They've gone through the small group discussions, and they've brought back the ideas and the solutions, and now their action committee is putting all of that together, and they're trying to map out the next level of involvement and how do they turn dialogue to action. And I think that's going to be a critical part of what we're trying to do here, is how do you turn dialogue to action?
Yeah, absolutely. When those suggestions and ideas start coming in.
Exactly.
So the funding for this kind of thing is how does that work?
Well, the city has dedicated about about $60,000, $10,000 in this fiscal year, and then another $50,000 to the next fiscal year. And that's to help first with the group that we'd bring in to help with the training of the facilitators. But then also, we do need some assistance from a logistical standpoint, an administrative standpoint. So what we've proposed to council, and they haven't given us a green light. They've given us a green light on the $50,000 for next year, but they haven't given us a green light on a part-time temporary position to help with the logistics. That was one of the things that we had talked about with a couple of the cities that we researched. They said you need some help. If Lynchburg, for instance, has had 1,000 people involved with their process.
Oh my gosh!
So you're talking about upwards of 50 small groups.
You need a coordinator.
You do, exactly. Where are they going to meet? How often are they going to meet? How do you contact people? All of that needs to occur. And so council has said, we want you to come back and talk to us a little bit in June about this. We think it's important. We'll put the $50,000 in for next year, but we just want you to come back and see what the response was to the proposal that went out and that type of thing. So we're going to come back to council and talk to them at a work session in June.
Good stuff. We're talking with Maurice Jones of the City of Charlottesville. The mall is pretty near done, as they
substantial
say.
Completion. That's correct. They're still working on some areas right in front of the skating rink and near the Omni. But the substantial completion of the project is done. Under budget, we're estimating right now, because we haven't gotten all the invoices in, but we're estimating it's 10% to 15% under budget.
Wow!
And it was on time. It was when we had hoped we'd be able to finish. And the folks with Barton Mallow, who helped organize this for us and manage the construction process, did an excellent job.
They are amazing people, and I know Carrie Schaefer, who works with them, and they are. They do some pretty impressive work. They're amazing folks. What's going on with all this? These new crosswalks, and it's like everywhere you go in the city, you see they're working on crosswalks and things like this.
Yeah, that's our pedestrian safety initiative. It was about a year and a half ago, the city council put together a pedestrian safety committee made up of citizens and city staffers to come up with ideas for tackling some of the concerns that we had about pedestrian safety, primarily in the West Main Street downtown area because of the high number of pedestrians and of course, vehicles. And out of that committee it came a lot of ideas for LED lights that would help warn people when pedestrians are crossing crosswalks.
Is that when it blinks on the street like they have over at UVA now?
Exactly. We have several of those. We have several of those downtown. And at least from my perspective, when I've been driving, I've always tried to be, especially when talking a lot about pedestrian safety in the last year and a half, it's certainly heightened my awareness, and that takes it to even another level.
When
you're
see
down
lights
the
blinking in the middle of the road,
you're thinking, I'm going to slow down. Yeah, something's going on.
You can't
right.
help but see it. Sure. Oh, wow. Somebody's
sure.
coming.
Yeah. And so the city council dedicated over $700,000, about $750,000 for the physical enhancements. They also put, as part of that, they put aside some money for marketing. And so we've been working on a pedestrian safety media campaign with ways of advertising with radio and other ways of getting the word out about how important pedestrian safety is. And then another critical part of that is enforcement. And so our police department has really stepped up enforcement of crosswalks and making sure that motorists are slowing down when folks have entered into a crosswalk or are about to enter into a crosswalk. And they've been aggressively ticketing folks as well.
Yeah. And, this kind of thing is sort of, if you look back in time, it sort of had to happen because for years the city has been making an effort to try to bridge downtown and the university area. And the vision all along has been, wouldn't it be great if West Main Street was this huge pedestrian corridor that people felt comfortable strolling at, whether it was night and restaurants and shopping. So it comes the time when you just got to make sure those crosswalks are safe if you have more people out walking around.
You're right, and it's been an important part of what the city council's vision has been for a number of years now, is a pedestrian-friendly city. And also you've seen some of the development that we've taken downtown to try to make it a place where people feel safe to live and safe to walk around, where they don't necessarily have to use their cars to get to where they need to go.
We're talking with Maurice Jones of the City of Charlottesville, and the phone lines are open at 977-1070. Kathy's been waiting patiently on line one. Kathy, thanks for the call. You're on with Maurice. Go right ahead.
Hi. I have a question about the focus groups.
Sure.
And I wanted to find out, how will individuals be chosen to participate?
What a great question.
No, that's a great question. What we're hoping to do, and this kind of continues the timeline discussion, we hope to have a facilitation group in June, and they would start their work in July. And we hope to have some small group, pilot small groups at that point to learn from.
Later in the summer.
So later in the summer, we'll have that. And we'll really start a big marketing push in August and September, and we'll be signing folks up. It's going to be, as I mentioned, a big push. We'll be advertising throughout
the community. You'll be back on this show, and we'll talk
elsewhere,
about it.
Exactly. Yeah. And we'll be inviting folks to apply to be a part of the discussion, and everyone who wants to be a part of it will certainly be assigned to a small group. And we want to make the small groups as diverse as possible so that that in each small group, people are hearing from different people and learning things about someone that they may not know. And so that's the process at this point. We're still working on the fine details, but we'll be putting the groups together probably in September.
Kathy, is this something you might want to participate in?
Absolutely.
That's fantastic.
Great. Well, just keep listening to this program and to WINA, and you will find out how to participate.
Sounds great.
Absolutely. Thank you. Let's go to Jay online, too. Jay, you're on with Mo Jones. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Good afternoon.
On your crossings at stoplights with the walk and don't walk lights, I believe there should be a delay in the green light when the walk light goes, green light goes, and people are trying to turn at the same time, and it runs into a conflict there. So it should be a delay on the green light while the people are walking across.
Is there one particular area that you've seen that's
there's a
problem?
Couple of those. Ninth and Cherry was one of them I ran into the other day, and I'm trying to think where the other one I was involved with. But the pedestrians trying to cross, they've got the walk light, you've got a green light trying to make a turn, and you have to wait. So I think there should be a delay on that green light.
That makes all the sense in the world, doesn't
sure.
it?
Sure. We'll go back to the traffic engineer and talk to him a little bit about that. Thanks a lot for bringing that up.
Jay, appreciate the call. And it's a great idea because we've all been there where you're turning and all of a sudden somebody's walking and you're like, where are you going? And
right.
then you realize, oh, well, I got a green light. You got a green light.
Right.
Yeah. Real quickly, I got about a minute and a half left,
sure.
but I did want to give you an opportunity to tell us about this new pool. And what's the latest on this? It looks
sure.
like a water park.
It is. The Honesty Aquatic Center over at Mead Park on Mead Avenue. It's going very well. The construction's going very well. We're looking at opening towards the end of June. It really is an intergenerational type of park. We took that into consideration as we were going through the master planning process with the neighborhood and other concerned citizens. And we're really excited about it. It will have a beautiful slide. There's zero depth entry into the pool. So that's great for little kids and
like
toddlers.
A beach. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's, you know, that's a great area for little ones to play in.
Right.
But then there's also a few lanes for competitive lap swimming. And it's got a lot of different amenities that we haven't seen before here in Charlottesville.
That's very exciting. Now, was the neighborhood upset that was going to cause a lot of traffic? Wasn't there something about that?
There's a little bit of concern about traffic and parking. And we've added a number of parking spaces there. We're going to be keeping an eye on that as well. Because it could become a great attractor, and that goes well beyond the neighborhood. And so, I'll tell you that right now. I'm certainly going to take my family.
I'm going to take my kids, yeah.
So we'll be keeping an eye on that and making adjustments as we go through the process.
Maurice Jones is Assistant City Manager for the City of Charlottesville, Virginia. He joins us regularly on this program to keep us updated about all the good things that are going on right here in our backyard. Mo, thank you so much.
It's my pleasure.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit cvillepodcast.com for more.